I'm the oldest of three girls. And my sisters and I played all the usual imaginary games. School, I, being the bossy oldest sister, was the teacher. House, I, the mother. Store, I, the store owner and postmistress. Orphanage, I, the evil orphanage keeper. And church, I, of course, the pastor. We would set ourselves and our dolls and our animals up, and we would have a church service or a school session. We were telling ourselves stories. We were fitting ourselves into the life of our community. We were trying on and practicing different roles in the world of imagination. This is the work of childhood. This imagining of possibilities, this weaving of tales, this trying on new roles. I would like to suggest and explore this morning that this might too be the work of the church. Jesus reminds us that we only get to the kingdom when we become like children, in awe of the world, willing to wonder, willing to take risks and find out how we might fit into the world that we see. How we might change the world that we see, what the possibilities might be. And if this is the work, how do we do it? How do we tend the gates and the gardens? How do we nurture in each other all the possibilities of this wild imagination game? All the possibilities of God present with us and the kingdom of God near at hand. Catherine Gould Eberle, in her book, Pretending to the Holy, suggests that we should look to Romans 8:26, because there we see the Spirit who inspires us in sighs too deep for words. And that Spirit also inspires creation to yearn for the wholeness that God imagines for all things. God is present, she says, in each moment of life. The responsibility of each of us is to open and respond to God's invitation, to experience wholeness, beauty, and love in our relationships and with all creation, whether in our households, our congregation, or with the vast human world. So the first work I think we need to do is the work of the garden. We need a place to experience awe, to experience wonder, a place to experience safety, so our imaginations can soar. We need a garden that is so beautiful and so peaceful that it reminds us of the still waters and the green meadows of the Psalm. A garden of welcome, a place of rest and safety. Many of us gathered here in this room have not always found church to be a place of rest and safety. Indeed, some of us have not always found this church to be a place of rest and safety. We do not do it perfectly. We hurt each other. We try to make amends. We strive with our welcome to model vulnerability, honest sharing, and the love of God. We want to make space in our worship and prayer for experiences of grace, experiences of the Holy Spirit present with us, in our music, in our children, in our presence with each other, and maybe even in our words. We want to walk with each other, to care for each other, to know and experience the presence of God with us. Because each of us will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. May we not have to do it alone. Maybe, just maybe, we will know that God is with us during those times. And if we don't know or experience God's presence, then may we know this community, this place to be one of sustenance, of rest, and love. Then, perhaps later, we might recognize the work of the Spirit, the presence of the embodied Christ. Indeed, as those of us who were present yesterday at Doris Ebersole's memorial service, we so eloquently heard from her grandson, James, God's very nature is peace. He cited commentators who referenced that the calm serenity is one characteristic of God's very nature. Experiencing the presence and comfort of God in the company of chosen community, we may feel God, and may we listen to her. May we experience her presence and draw close as she sings to us, comforts us, and yearns to be known.
Like a ship in the harbor, like a mother and child, night in the darkness, I'll hold you while we'll rock on water. I'll cradle you deep and hold you while angels sing you to sleep. Like a ship in the harbor, like a mother and child, like a light in the darkness, I'll hold you while we'll rock on the water. I'll cradle you deep and hold you while angels sing. Like a mother and child, like a light in the darkness, I'll hold you while we'll rock on water. I'll cradle you deep and hold you while
and even as we are held and rocked and loved, we cannot stay only here. And assembly has always been a place of sending. We have always been a transitory congregation. We hold each other a while. And during our time together, we tell stories. We share life. We tell stories of the Bible, stories from the church, and stories from our own lives. Because, as Andrew Sims, editor of two new books of folk and fairy tales, says, quote, stories more than facts hold our attention and pattern our lives. Facts we can deny. Stories slip past our ideological guard and into the imagination. In stories, we make sense of the world and find a way to deal with what doesn't make sense. Stories let us imagine how things can be different and helping them become so. And it is with stories that we turn to the work of the gates, the work of tending to the world, of building the kingdom. It cannot be done without knowing first that we are safe and loved, without knowing that others have our backs and that we are beloved and God is with us. And when we care for ourselves and each other, we find ourselves looking outwards. And in fact, that care for ourselves and others is necessary work in order to sustain any work beyond ourselves, the work in the world. The worship committee reminded us of this in their paper about this introduction. They said, we need to both create and protect and steward distinctive spaces that shape our identity and are also called to share those spaces and the resources therein freely with those around us. Without the former, we are too easily influenced by forces of dispersion, distraction, and discontent. But without the latter, we are too easily tempted to hoard our wealth of all types for only ourselves and those closest to us. When we know we are beloved, when we know we are valued deep in our bones, when we have a home, we can more clearly see the needs outside of ourselves and join in the work that God is doing. And God is constantly doing a new thing, constantly bringing worlds into being and imagining alternatives to what is happening in these perilous times. We become outward focused so that we too can join God's work for justice in situations of suffering and injustice. This is the call we hear in Galatians and Revelation. But how can we do this? I looked to the place where we all look to get our answers, Google. So the Google Research Lab has sponsored many projects and research. And one of its research projects, 5 years long, that recently ended, was on how to build the perfect team. What they discovered, I think, can help us too. They found that successful teams, creative teams, teams that were innovative, could think out of the box, and could do what they were meant to do, shared two group traits. One is they distributed conversational turn-taking equally among team members. They took turns. Two is that they were socially sensitive. They were skilled at using their intuition to understand how other team members felt. Now, we aren't a large corporation, and maybe we could have taught them something about this, but I think there's something to be learned from this research. In our growth from a small congregation to one with regular attendance over 200, we've been asking some of these questions with Tom Kaufman, our Bridge support pastor, about how we can best meet our needs of our growing congregation and revitalize us to do work in the world. We have identified that continuing to make decisions using a consensus model is important. And so we find ways to educate each other about what this means and to hear all of our voices. Listening to each other's voices, especially the minority one, gives us practice for the work outside of this place, the work in the world. Indeed, consensus lifts up and gives priority to the minority voice. If we can practice this work of listening and caring with people that we trust and who care about each other, then I think we're off to a good start for being able to listen to the minority voice and advocate for it in the larger world. Google's work is also a good reminder that we need to continue to be authentic. In fact, we need to continue to share our lives and be vulnerable, to give and receive help as we need it. and to encourage others to open up. When we feel safe enough to be ourselves, we can encourage others to do the same. And when we do these things, we can be more productive and more creative. We can clearly locate ourselves and look at the world, and then we can see the big things for what they are: economic and social injustice, racism, xenophobia, patriarchy, and homophobia, and we are changed. We are compelled to act for justice, and we are transformed. In our transformation, we witness to community, and then the world, and that is good news. And my friends, this, I think, is the work of assembly: to be the garden, to prepare people to move beyond the gates, to look at our privilege, to make up new stories, to listen deeply to the stories of others, to have those stories and our lives impacted, to have them change us so that we see the places where we can make a difference in the world, so that we can call out each other's gifts, so we can feel safe enough to move into the world. That world which may not be such a safe place, a place where we can make prophetic statements and come home knowing we are loved, knowing that there is space that is safe. I think our community outreach becomes the outreach of imagination, of space and time and self. We may not have a single project that we all come together on, but we work to support the energy and longings of those that emerge from within us. We work to identify the places of the kingdom. We cannot be all things to all people, but we can hope that the deep knowledge of being seen and known and loved leaves us with enough reserves to carry these memories into the world and to come together again to be sustained and challenged and nourished. And again, we then become transformed, and we work to transform the world. Because this is the call of the Jesus that we know, the call of Jesus that we see in the scriptures, in Jesus that inspires and prophesies, the work of the Spirit who comforts and nurtures us, the work of God the Creator who aids in all of our creative acts and imaginings. It begins in the gardens, and it moves beyond the gates, always welcoming people in, always working for justice and transformation. You cannot have the garden without the gate. And the work of the church is to hold them both, nurturing and sending, being authentic with each other and seeking authentic relationships with others who we don't know in the world. Seeing the world as it is, hearing the minority outsider voice, and then speaking to justice. And each individual moves between the gate and garden, making space to be vulnerable, embraced and loved, then moving out to do the hard work we are called to do, and always coming home. Hear these words as blessing from Ursula Le Guin. Please bring strange things. Please come bringing new things. Let very old things come into your hands. Let what you do not know come into your hands. Let the desert sand harden your feet. Let the arch of your feet be mountains. Let the paths of your fingertips be maps. Let there be deep snow in your in-breath and your out-breath the shining of ice. May the spring of a foreign river be your navel. May your soul be at home where there are no houses. Walk carefully, well-loved one. Walk mindfully, well-loved one. Walk fearlessly, well-loved one. Return to us. Return to us. Be always coming home.